It's 2 years since I was here. The video you have seen, it's a long way. It's a long way. I came here the first time, I think in 2000, I think. No, it was not 2000. When you are still in the cottage. When you are still in the cottage.
I think it was in the late 1980s.
1992. That's when I came here for the first time. And the minister here was Nick Capton. John and Faith Casey were here. And they welcomed me in that cottage. It was another church where you are worshiping. And I shared with them the vision that God has given me, as Gerald has said. Where I was ministering is a very rural area. And I went there as an evangelist. My work was to preach and to go, but at this time it was completely different. After ministering in a successful evangelistic meeting, I saw so many girls, aged 14, others 13, carrying babies. And I wondered, why are these little girls carrying babies? I came to realize about seven kilometers from Dunduri on your way to Nakuru, there is one of the biggest army barrack and training in Eastern Central Africa. It's called Lanet. So army men found a very good place, cheap place, where they could get girls. So these babies were from those soldiers. When I looked at these children, they were hungry and very unhealthy. They were sick. I wanted to go to preach to somewhere else. Hungry children, sick mothers, desperate mothers without hope. And I felt this word in me. I'm repeating this because some of you are very new. I felt in myself the word telling me, you feed them. You feed them. How am I going to feed such a people? The Lord reminded me of a scripture in the gospel where Jesus was approached by his disciples in the wilderness. And the disciple, how long do I have? What time do I have?
30 minutes.
Good. I can share that. Yeah. I remembered the time when Jesus was approached by his disciples when he was in preaching at the mountain. And the disciples told him, this multitude are hungry. Send them home that they can get food for themselves. But the answer from the Lord was this, you feed them. Jesus turned to his disciples and told him, you feed them. Jesus didn't say that I'm going to feed them. He told his disciples, you feed them. It is the responsibility of us, the disciples of Christ, to feed the hungry. Peter, one of the disciples, told Jesus, how can we feed this multitude? 5,000 people. When you talk to Jesus will always open the way. He has the answer. He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. He cannot tell you to do something which he knows it is impossible. For there is nothing impossible with God. Jesus instructed his disciples to sit those people into groups. And he asked them another question. What do you have? What do you have? Fortunately, there was a boy who had carried his lunch. 2 fish and 5 pieces of bread, is that right? And Jesus said, bring that to me. And Jesus blessed this lunch of this young man. And he started giving it to the disciples. The revelation I got, Jesus, the Son of our God, will always give to his disciples that he has taught to give to others. And he was able to feed 5,000 people. And there was remains. I was seeking the Lord, what do you want me to do? I felt if I feed these people, these girls, if I give them food, they will come back again to me and ask me for food. So by the help now of this church, we bought sewing machines, I don't know whether you can remember, and we hired a place, and we trained those girls how to make dresses. By the grace of God, we trained all of them, and they were able to make dresses within 3 months. And they started selling them, and they started getting money to feed their families. 5 of those ladies today, they have very big shops in different parts of the country. They are business people. The little offering you gave. To us, it was a lot of money. Okay, I told you they were sick. Every week, I was conducting a funeral service of a sick child, of a child dying. And they were dying because of sicknesses which can easily be treated. Malaria, measles, whooping cough, such are diseases. One of my assistants in the church was working in the hospital. It's called Gideon. He came and told me, Pastor, I'll resign from the government because I'm not doing justice thing. I'm not faithful. Because all what I'm doing, when people come to the hospital, all what I'm doing is to prescribe the drugs. And where to buy these drugs is in the town, about 15 miles away. The road that time, from Dodori to Nakuru, it was only 15 miles. But the driving that time, it was taking 2 hours because the road was very rough. So even the child were dying, children were dying on the road. We asked ourselves what we are going to do. We agreed to start a church clinic. It didn't start this way. We started in a wooden place. And here, you raised money. Your husband, the policeman, he gave me a telescope. Somebody gave me a microscope. Basic things. And we were able to start the clinic. May I tell you now, since that time, I don't remember when I conducted the funeral of a child. God has been growing us from one level to another, from one glory to another. Now we have been given, we have now gone to, we came from one, level one, clinic, level two, now we are level three. Level three, now that's the reason why the government is very much on us, because they want us, our maternity to be, to have all the equipment. We need a good toilet in the clinic, because when the mother is delivering a child, needs a very clean and good clinic. That's very urgent. And also we are now expanding that maternity block. Also there are equipment which you need to buy. Those beds you saw were bought by John Blessy. You gave him money, he came and bought those. They are old now. Also the equipment which John bought, they were old. We have some other new equipment like hemogram machine, which is really helping us a lot, and other equipment. But there's equipment which now are very old, and government is now saying they are not good to continue with the work. You can see what God has done through you. You can think, Maria, you could send the money. By that time, you are the treasurer. And you could send the money to us now and then, now and then. And God bless you all. This is your work. The work was started by this church. You can think you are a very small congregation, but you have saved so many lives. May God bless you. And to tell you that, please pray for us because we need that maternity to be finished. We have been given an ultimatum. Now we are in when? We are in May. We have been told we have must finish that maternity by the end of July. And we need thousands of pounds. I think they need about 4,000 pounds to finish that. Please pray for us. There are some other projects we do like the school, but I don't want to tell you about the school because your burden has been the clinic. That has been your burden. So I want to leave, I don't want to tell you about the school. I want to leave up the clinic with you to pray and see what God can do. May God bless you. I was here 2 years ago. And since I was here 2 years ago, it's good to know that our lives, your life and my life, we are on the hands of God. And we have no power of our life. When I left here, I went home and celebrated my 70th birthday. I'm the coordinator of the bishops in our county. The church wanted to celebrate my birthday in our Dodori church. And they did it. They had their day. But also, the people I read in the city, they said, you are also our reader. We are going to celebrate your birthday in the city. And it was very good. I felt so honored. But when things like that has happened, when you have the victory from the Lord, you must also know the enemy is not happy. Since that time, my life has been going up and down. And one morning I woke up and I found my mouth has gone one side. This mouth had gone this side. Had something, they diagnosed something called Hell's Palsy. Yes. By God's grace, I was treated, and that one went. Then after that, I started losing weight. A lot. And when I was taken to the doctor, they did a endoscopy, something that puts a machine in my body here, endoscopy, something like that. They were trying to diagnose to see whether there is anything wrong. By God's grace, they found nothing. There was no growth. There was no cancer. There was no... What do you call it? no prostate, nothing. They found something, because I was not able to talk, my voice could not come out well. They found something they were calling it antifungal, antifungal, F-U-N, antifungal, something like that. They found, and I was given treatment. I was admitted in the hospital for 4 days. No operation, nothing. I came out strong. And today I'm here strong. Praise God. This is by the grace of God. We live in this world by the grace of God. When you sleep and wake up in the morning and find yourself alive, you have to thank God. One thing God has told me and he has taught me. He brought you in this world for a very special purpose. And there is work he brought you to do in this world. It doesn't matter how you look like now. You are living by the grace of God. And you will not leave this world. Let me assure you, and listen to me very good, you will not leave this world. Don't compare yourself with others who have left this world. I'm talking to you. You will not leave this world until you have finished the work that God brought you to do in this world. There are so many hardships and challenges which will come. That does not mean God has left you. You remember the scripture that we have read. David was anointed by God. And he went through so many challenges. He won so many battles. Our God is God of battles. He's the Lord of hosts. But remember, our battle belongs to the Lord. When he was going through all those battles, you remember him killing Goliath, thinking that Saul will be happy, but because he has killed Goliath. But things became worse. Saul did not like him. The world will not like you, not appreciate what you are doing. You might not be appreciated by the world because of good things that you are doing. When you are doing good things, don't expect somebody to tell you thank you or to tell you you have done good. There is one who is looking at you, God. Even if people are not appreciating you, God is appreciating you. God said, I have found a man out of my heart, David, son of Jesse. God has found somebody out of you. God has found a woman out of you. God has found a man out of you. And God is ready to move with you. And I have seen him going with me all these years. From nothing, because I had nothing. As I told you before, I was born in the bush. My parents were freedom fighters. 1953, when they went to the bush. There is a reason why I did not die in the bush. That cold of Mount Kenya did not kill me, because God had purpose with me. And he has brought me all this far. David, God brought him all that far, even if he had so many challenges. Saul was looking for him. At this time, he thought to run away. And where he ran away? To America. They also started hating him. Nobody who liked him. They went and burned his camp. And they took everything, including his wives. He was left with nothing. Sometimes we can be left with nothing. He was left with nothing. And the people, even the people who were his men, now started rising against him, wanting to kill him. It was a big challenge. He was in a great stress. Sometimes we find ourselves in a great stress. Maybe because of our children, because of our families, we have these challenges. But one thing David did in the book of, we read from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30, from verse 1 to 13. There is one thing David did. The Bible says David did not panic. Are you getting me? He did not complain before God. He did not say, God, where are you? Why are these things happening? He remembered what God had done before. He remembered miracles that God used him to perform, killing a lion and a bear. And the same thing to you. God has done something good for you in the past. And the same God who did for you, the same God is alive even today. The challenge is that it's ahead of you. God is going to sort it out. What David did, he encouraged himself in the Lord. After encouraging himself in the Lord, he talked to one of the priests called Abithar. And he told Abithar, bring me the ephod. Ephod? Is that good English? I want you to hear what I'm saying. Ephod? Ephod is a dress which a priest was wearing when prayer, during the time of prayer. And after wearing that garment of prayer, the Bible says he consulted God. He went before the Lord and asked God this question. Lord, do you want me to continue pursuing these people? And if I pursue them, will I recover? The Lord told him, pursue them, and you will recover all. All that has been lost, you will recover. Only put on the garment of prayer. Go to God through prayers. Approach the throne of God by prayers. Don't be tired of talking to God. David prayed, and after praying, he took a step of faith and started pursuing the enemy. And when he pursued the enemy, on the way, God gave him somebody who told him where those people are. And he followed them, and he pursued all. Don't complain. Your nation, even don't complain about your nation. I've told you before. Okay. I told you, your prisons here, your prisons, do you know they are better than our hospitals? Your prison, you have a TV. Is that right? You have a bed. You have blankets. You have three meals a day. doctor will attend you when you are sick. Is that right? In Africa, nothing like that. In government maternity, they share bed three women, three ladies. You can imagine an expectant lady sharing bed three feet by six, sharing three ladies. And you are complaining here that your government is not helping you. And your medical services are free. When I was in the clinic, when I was sick, for 4 days, I paid £1,200. If it were not of you people who helped me, I could be detained in the hospital. Let me tell you something else to encourage you. Don't complain. Go before the Lord and thank God because of your nation. I was invited at National Prayers Breakfast at Westminster. And there was who is who in the United Kingdom. The Prime Minister was there. Cabinet ministers were there. MPs were there. All the senior people were there. We had loud tables. And if such a meeting could take place in Nairobi, we have waters, bottle waters like that one. Very expensive bottle waters on the table. But that in that breakfast, there was no water. There was no bottle water. There were only empty glasses like this one. Then I saw a waiter coming with water in the jug, pouring in the glass. I asked myself, am I going to drink this water? If you drink a tap water in Kenya, the first thing I warn my friends when they are coming to Kenya, don't drink tap water because you'll get typhoid, waterborne diseases. But here, I said, am I going to drink this water from the tap? Then I looked around and I saw the Prime Minister drinking that water. I was encouraged to drink that water because I saw the Prime Minister drinking. That means you are far ahead of us. Because Prime Minister is drinking a tap water. Queen is drinking such a... Everybody was drinking that water. Thank God because of your nation. I know you still have some challenges. But because of your faithfulness in the beginning, many years, when you took gospel over the world, God rewarded you. And God honored you. So you have a time now to pray for your nation and to thank God because of our nation. I know there are some challenges will not stop coming. I know there is that sifting in the book of, I was looking in this book of, and tell me when the time is gone. I'm going to finish quickly. In the book of Luke, chapter 22, I want to read this scripture. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you turned again, strengthen your brothers. Why? You can ask, we do ask ourselves, why do we go through temptation? Why sometimes do we face challenges and God is there? May I assure you something? It is for your good and the good of the church. When you are being sifted, when you are being tried, the way David was tried, the way I was being tried, when you are being sifted, it's for your good and good of the church. Because here, Jesus said, I saw you, Peter, being sifted like wheat. Do you know what Jesus said? I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Even if you are going through trials, even if you are going through hardship, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Even when I was sick on the bed, he was praying for me. That when I come out of that hospital bed, when I come out of that challenge, I will tell the brethren, our God is able to do it. And he's going to do it for you. My prayer for my life and to you all is the good work that God started in us, he'll finish it. The work that God gave us to do, let's pray we do that work. We finish it and we finish well. We are not going to leave it halfway. We finish it well. We shall say like Apostle Paul when he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course and I have kept the faith. And now there is a crown of glory awaiting for us. May God bless you. Amen.